Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Federal Employment Law Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 27, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Elgin v. Department of the Treasury. This case involves federal employees who contend that their employment was improperly terminated in violation of the Constitution and are seeking reinstatement, an equitable form of relief. The question is whether federal district courts have jurisdiction under the Civil Service Reform Act to address constitutional claims for equitable relief. To discuss the case, we have Thomas Merrill, who is the Charles Evans Hughes Professor of Law at Columbia Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Merrill.
Elgin versus Department of Treasury is a case in the Supreme Court that has been briefed and was argued on Monday, February 27th. No decision, of course, has been reached as of yet. The underlying issue in the case involves the military draft and the registration requirements associated with the military draft. We, of course, don't have a draft right now, but there is still a statute that requires young men between the ages of 18 and 26, but not women, to register for the draft. There's also a federal statute, which was passed sometime after the draft statute in 1985, that says that any federal employee who was required to register for the draft and who knowingly and willfully fails to do so is automatically disqualified from federal employment. This case involves four federal employees who failed to register for the draft. When this was discovered by their employing agencies, they were terminated, and they have filed suit protesting the terminations on the grounds that the draft statute is unconstitutional. The most serious claim that they raise is that the statute that requires young men to register for the draft but exempts women is an unconstitutional gender discrimination under the equal protection component of the Fifth Amendment. The Civil Service Reform Act of 1978 creates a specialized federal agency, the Merit System Protection Board, whose sole function is to review claims by employees of other federal agencies that they have been wrongly dismissed or otherwise treated improperly by their agency. The Merit System Protection Board has authority to consider these cases, and after they have been considered by the board, they are subject to exclusive review by the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in Washington. The constitutional claim that the petitioners raised was raised by one of the petitioners before the Merit System Protection Board, but the board said it had no jurisdiction to consider the issue because it had no authority to declare a federal statute unconstitutional. One of the petitioners who had brought this before the board declined at that point to file an appeal to the Federal Circuit, and then all four petitioners, including the one that had been before the board but three others who had not, filed a lawsuit in the Federal District Court in the First Circuit raising the constitutional claim. Now, the Supreme Court in 1981, in a case called Rosker versus Goldberg, had upheld the male-only draft statute against an equal protection challenge. But the petitioners claim, not without some reason, that there has been a substantial change in the military since 1981, that women in the military perform a much greater variety of tasks than they did back then, and having men subject to the draft but not women is no longer rational and therefore violates equal protection. In order to sustain this claim, they said that they had to build a record in the district court that would demonstrate the irrationality of the gender discrimination in the statute. The district court in the First Circuit would have nothing of it. The petitioners then appealed to the First Circuit, and the First Circuit dismissed their case, saying that their exclusive remedy was before the Federal Circuit, that even though the Merit System Review Board had no authority to consider their constitutional challenge, that nevertheless they had to proceed before the Merit System Review Board and then bring up their constitutional claim on appeal to the Federal Circuit. And the statute creating the system did not allow anybody to bring an ordinary lawsuit in a regional district court subject to appeal through the regional courts of appeals challenging the constitutionality of the act. Petitioners then filed a cert petition from this decision of the First Circuit, and the Supreme Court granted review. Now, when the case first came up, there was some speculation that it might be an occasion for the court to give further consideration to Bivens versus six unknown agents decided in 1971 and succeeding cases which say that there's an implied private right of action that arises directly under the Constitution, giving citizens the right to go into federal district court under 28 U.S.C. 1331 and raise constitutional challenges to government action. Deemed that, in fact, the petitioners in this case were relying on Bivens or Bivens-like authority in order to bring their suit in the regional courts of appeals. Bivens, some people think, is in some tension with Alexander versus Sandoval and other cases that say Congress has to create a cause of action by statute before anybody can bring a lawsuit in federal court against the government. And the tension between Alexander versus Sandoval and Bivens might have been an issue that the court could have considered in the Elgin case. This issue, it now appears, if it's in the case, and there's some suggestion the petitioners thought it was, has been diffused. The Solicitor General's brief explains that under the Administrative Procedure Act, everyone has a right to a review of agency action made reviewable by statute, and final agency action for which there's no other adequate remedy in a court. And the Solicitor General argues that if the petitioner is correct, that cannot obtain review of the constitutional challenge to the draft statute through the Merit System Review Board in the Federal Circuit, then there would be a cause of action. In other words, if they don't have a cause of action under the civil service statutes, they still would have a cause of action under the APA because they would have no other adequate remedy to raise their constitutional challenge. And so the APA supplies the relevant cause of action. And based on the transcript of the argument, it seems like all justices are comfortable with that. There doesn't seem to be any sentiment to reconsider the Bivens issue in this particular case. The argument was interesting. There was a lot of confusion about exactly what kind of constitutional issues the petitioners thought had to go to the regional courts as opposed to the federal circuit. Petitioners started out by arguing that sort of an as-applied versus facial distinction, that as applied challenges could go to the Federal Circuit, could be decided by the Merit System Review Board and up to the Federal Circuit. This would be, for example, a claim that the agency had violated the Due Process Clause by not providing someone an adequate hearing, but that facial challenges would have to go to the regional courts. The court was somewhat confused by this. It seemed after significant questioning that the actual distinction that the petitioner was following was that challenges to executive action, in other words, constitutional challenges to the way an agency had behaved toward an employee, could go to the Merit System Review Board and from there to the Federal Circuit, but challenges to the constitutionality of the statute itself, in this case the draft statute, the Selective Service Act, the petitioner was claiming had to go to the regional courts because the Merit System Review Board had taken the position it had no authority to resolve such constitutional claims. So once that got clarified, it seemed that almost all the justices agreed with the First Circuit that it didn't make any sense to have some constitutional questions, the challenges to the constitutionality of agency action going up to the Federal Circuit and other constitutional issues sent off to the regional courts of appeals. Everybody seemed to think that it made sense to channel everything to the Federal Circuit. So I think basically that's how the case will be decided. There was quite an interesting intramural debate among the justices as to exactly how the Federal Circuit was supposed to process any constitutional challenge to a statute as opposed to federal executive action. Assuming that the Merit System Review Board has no authority to consider the constitutional question, and it goes up to the Federal Circuit, which is an Article III court, and the Federal Circuit then considers the question, what if you need to create a record? As the petitioners claim in this case, you have to create a record about gender discrimination. How is that going to be handled given that you're going to a court of appeals, not a trial court, and there is no record that has been created on this particular question? The government seemed to argue that the way this should be handled is that the claimant should present the issue to the Merit System Review Board along with any other issues that they have, and the Merit System Review Board would then, if it saw fit, create a record, even though it didn't have authority to decide the constitutional question, And then that record would go up to the Federal Circuit, which does have authority to decide the constitutional question, and the Federal Circuit would decide the issue based on that record. Justice Scalia thought this made no sense, that one could raise an issue before an agency the agency has no authority to decide, and asked to have a record made by an entity that has no authority to decide the issue. Justice Scalia thought a better procedure would be to have the issue go to the Federal Circuit, and if the Federal Circuit thought a record, it could either decide it without a record based on judicial notice of various facts, or if it thought a record needed to be created, it could appoint a special master who would then create the necessary record, which could be reviewed by the Federal Circuit. Chief Justice Roberts vehemently disagreed with this. He thought that creating a special master would result in the same special master deciding a whole bunch of cases involving constitutional challenges, and that this would effectively create the special master as a kind of de facto district court for these constitutional issues, which Roberts thought was not a desirable thing to do. And so Roberts and Scalia went back and forth about how actually this would be implemented if you had the Federal Circuit deciding these issues, even though the Merit System Review Board could not. Somewhere along the line, some justices began to ask where the assumption comes from that the Merit System Review Board can't decide challenges to the constitutionality of a federal statute. The suggestion was made by the attorney from the Solicitor General's office that this really came from some dictum in older cases, amplified by Professor Kenneth Culp Davis's 1958 administrative law treatise. Several people seem to think that this is a rather skimpy basis for the assumption, and there seemed to be some speculation that perhaps the court should reconsider the question of whether or not a federal agency lacks authority to declare a federal statute unconstitutional. Somebody pointed out, I think correctly, that Congress might not be too happy with the idea that federal agencies controlled by the executive branch could declare congressional statutes unconstitutional. And Congress might have assumed that there was no authority to do this and that such a ruling would considerably upset the separation of powers apple cart. And so the issue, though raised, had no clear consensus solution among the justices. So anyway, it seemed fairly clear from the transcript that the court is likely to affirm the First Circuit. It's not clear exactly how much further guidance they'll give on this question of how you handle a constitutional challenge that before an agency when the agency doesn't have authority or is assumed not to have authority to decide it, and then it goes up to a court of appeals on review as opposed to a district court on review. Possible that the court will not decide very much at all given the internal disagreements about how to handle these matters and may just leave it up to the First Circuit to decide. First instance, I'd be rather surprised if the court raises the issue of an agency's authority to declare statutes unconstitutional since this was not briefed by any of the parties. It seems to raise very far-reaching questions that the court would want to deliberate about rather seriously before it weighed in on the matter in any authoritative fashion.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.